So again, today I want to begin with the Lenten practice that I invited you into on the first week of Lent. Remember, I asked that you would make the sign of the cross and say, I am baptized and beloved. So let's do that together. I am baptized and beloved. I also, if you remember in December, spoke one morning about a breath prayer where you say some words with your in and out breath. And this past week, I started practicing that with these words. So as I breathe in, I am baptized. And as I breathe out, and beloved. And so I invite you maybe to try that as well this week. It is a lovely grounding practice to just remember how God holds us in love every day. All right, so our culture is big on self-help. Books and podcasts offer to help us create the life we've always wanted. Motivational speakers will help us to reach all our goals. We are told to visualize what we want and manifest it into our lives. Even some churches treat God like a vending machine. Tithe your income and you will be financially blessed in return. If you just pray the right prayer, God will do whatever you want. Lent reminds us that our faith is not about self-help. It is more about facing our limitations and recognizing our dependence on God. We begin the season on Ash Wednesday hearing, remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. And we are invited to return to the Lord your God, who is gracious and merciful and abounding in steadfast love. In a recent sermon, Pastor Nadia Bolz-Weber reflected on this aspect of Lent, saying, if you are faced with your own limitedness right now, if you are exhausted by our achievement culture, if your me-based solutions to your me-based problems keep failing you, Christian, know this. There is no shame in that. Maybe that is what Lent is all about. Not giving up chocolate, but giving up on those things that, let's be honest, weren't working anyway. We offer no me-based solutions here. You know what we have to offer instead? Divine foolishness. The kind that says if you want to save your life, you must lose it, and if you lose your life, you will find it. And Pastor Nadia continues, because as St. Paul kind of says, the cross is foolishness to those whose own solutions are still working for them, but to the weak and the cynical and the socially awkward and the exhausted, to the divorced and the unemployed and the alcoholics. In other words, to all who are in need of help and rest, Christ crucified, the foolishness of God, is life in a way that our own solutions can never be. In a way that more status and more degrees and more financial security can never be. In a way that proving ourselves and people-pleasing and Pilates can never be. Friends, this season of Lent invites us to refocus on who we are and whose we are. As my mentor back in Chicago used to say, God is God and I am not. Thanks be to God. At baptism, we pray for the baptized person to receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we pray for the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. What does this wisdom and understanding look like? Paul says that as baptized Christians, we have access to a particular wisdom that is from God. It's not like the wisdom of the culture around us. The wisdom of the Greek philosophers valued was a wisdom of logic and rhetoric and everything in its place. But there is nothing logical about a God dying as a despised criminal. The wisdom the Romans valued was the wisdom of might makes right. The strongest one sets the rules and keeps peace by military power. In such a system, it makes no sense for someone to willingly give up their power and submit to violence and death. We have lived with the idea of a crucified God all our lives. For us, the death and resurrection of Christ is the cornerstone of faith, and we wear crosses, right, as jewelry and also to profess our faith. But for those who first heard this story, the idea that a God could suffer and die at the hands of humans was utter foolishness. More than that, it was a scandal, a stumbling block for belief in this new religion. Paul acknowledges that and reminds us that God's ways are not our ways. What appears foolish to us, to give our lives away in love and service to others, to trust in love, peace, and mercy rather than power, might, and violence, these are at the very core of the wisdom of God, who is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. A God who brings life out of death and makes all things new. The Hebrew scripture says again and again that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. This language of fearing God is uncomfortable for some of us, especially if our background includes religious teaching based in fire and brimstone and fear of retribution. But I think that the meaning in the Hebrew scripture is somewhat different than that. I think of it more as reverence and awe for a God who is mystery beyond our understanding. It reminds us to balance our "what a friend we have in Jesus" knowledge of God with the knowledge of the God who travels in a pillar of fire and blackens the sky when Jesus dies. In Hebrew scripture, wisdom was founded in living in right relationship with God. Psalm 19 reminds us that the decrees of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. As a good Jewish man, Paul knows this sort of wisdom that begins in God. He's based his life on that. Living a life set apart as God's chosen people, living a life of faithfulness and trust in God is the key to good life, the beginning of wisdom. But Paul wants to take it even further. He is convinced that by the work of Jesus Christ, such a life made right with God is available to anyone, not just in the Jewish covenant people. He believes that when people are baptized into Christ, they become a new creation. They give up their old selves and take on new life as followers of Jesus, whose spirit lives in them. Which is right and good, but we also know, as Paul did, that being a new creation in Christ doesn't mean we don't struggle daily with sin. We do things that we don't mean to do. We become addicted to things that are bad for us. We act in ways that harm others. And we are harmed by things that others do. These things are true in our personal relationships and at a societal level. We are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. And we know, if we are honest, that we cannot fix this. And God knows that, which is why, in what seems foolish and even absurd by human standards, God decided to become human and submit God's self to death on a cross, to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Holy God, give your beloved the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord, the spirit of wisdom in trusting Jesus, and the understanding to expect resurrection and new life. The spirit of counsel in following Jesus all our days, and the might of love and mercy. The spirit of knowledge of God's love and grace, and the fear and reverence for a God whose foolishness is greater than our wisdom, and whose weakness is greater than our strength. To follow Jesus, to trust in Jesus, to abide in Jesus, that is the wisdom which gives us life. God is God, and we are not. Thanks be to God.
Amen.
Amen.